be working properly tonight. We'll go on with our study in the Gospels, in chapter 4 of Mark. And I will read this, and we'll see where we can go with it. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there gathered to him a great multitude, so he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? And so he goes ahead to explain. And the sower soweth the word, and these are they that by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear shall more be given. For he said, For he that has, to him shall be given, and to him that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise and night and day, and the seed should spring and grow, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn of the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? And it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spoke he the word to them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spoke he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, care thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, tonight as we open your word, we ask you to clear our minds. Father, put our thought processes in the order they need to be, that, Father, we can truly understand what your Spirit is saying. And, Father, may your Spirit of love and mercy and grace cover us this evening. Father, we just love you and we bless you tonight. Amen. Okay, back to the first verse. It said, He began again to teach. That means he's been doing it before, doesn't it? By or near the seaside. Word side isn't there. By the sea. And there was gathered to him a great or a very large multitude, so that he entered into a ship or a vessel and set in the sea. Well, you know, I can see something there. Because of the great multitude of humanity, he had to get in a vessel called a body. And where was he cast? Into the sea of humanity, into all of them, see? And the whole multitude was near the sea on the land. See, they just wasn't where he was at just yet. And he taught them many things in parables, not by parables, but in parables. And said to them in his doctrine, and said to them in his doctrine, or his what? His teachings. Hearken. Now, in his teaching, he said this. Hearken, or literally, listen. He's saying, listen. So, if he tells you this, he says, hearken. I mean, our language, we really don't glean much meaning out of that word, do we? But when someone says, listen, what does that mean? It means more than just pay attention. It means shut up. See? It means shut up. See, because you can't possibly talk and hear at the same time. You've got to stop. When these lips are bumping, these are closed. When you close the lips, the ears open up and you can hear. And that's what he's trying to tell. I mean, there's really a revelation in this. Many people can't stop talking long enough to hear. And I mean, they're sweet people, but they just don't understand. They got to stop talking to hear. We really got to stop here. So, he says, listen, or stop talking. Behold, there went out a seed sower to sow seed. Now, I wonder who this seed sower might be. How about you?
Christ.
That's right. It's all of us, the seed sowers. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell near the road. See? And the road is what? Course of life. So through his life, he went down the road doing what? He wasn't walking down the road throwing a handful of seed out each side of the road, was he? See, he was talking to people. And there were some people who did not listen or heed to what he said. So where'd that word fall? By the wayside. See, it just fell off the side of the road because these people really weren't listening. Didn't we talk tonight about people who would not listen when we try to give them? I mean, we're not trying to sell anything to them. We're trying to give it to them. And in a world so full of greed, you'd think they'd just suck this up in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? Because the world's so full of greed and they want so much for nothing. And say, well, I'm giving it to you, and they won't even accept it. See? And it's life. And the ones that's selling everything to them isn't life. And they pay for it. Whew, that went over my head. I guarantee he said that they like darkness. Okay. Some fell by the way of the roadside or by his lifestyle, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Now, if I go ahead and break this down, then we'll get the other half of it. I won't have to be able to give them to tell you over there, so I'll just let this slide on by just for a minute. Okay. But he said, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Let me just say it this way. What do you think the fowls are?
Evil thoughts.
Absolutely. Evil thoughts. Okay. We'll get to it later more in depth on the other side. And some, and the word some here is some seed, fell on what? Stony ground. Now, if we're talking about the birds devouring something being thoughts, then where is this taking place? Stony ground is someone, as the Bible calls, stiff-necked, hard-headed. Okay? So like the people we talked about tonight who just would not hear. How many times did God send his prophets to the nation of Israel and they would not hear? They told Moses even, Moses, you go talk to God, come tell us what he needs and we'll do it. They was lying through their teeth. They knew it and Moses knew it. God knew it too. Okay? But some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth. If there's no room for a root to go down and put down a foundation, what's it got to do with it? It's got to push it up. See? That's why it came up so quickly. It didn't have enough to protect itself. I can go back and George. Hit one. Hit a button. Right back to Genesis. He protected the mind of humanity while they were in ignorance. Right? So, right here, he would not let them come to the kingdom. Remember, he sent them out of the garden and put the cherubim there with the flaming swords? Why? To keep them out of the garden until it's time. See? And that's only, cherubim's only thought processes, images in our mind. See, it's keeping us out of the Holy of Holies, which is right in here. It's all about this. Okay? But when the sun was up, and wasn't he the sun? Christ? And when that day star rose, the sun, what did it do to them? It scorched them because they had no root. They had no foundation in themselves, did they? Right? And because it had no root, it withered away. And see, he is the root, isn't he? He was the root of Jesse. He had it hooked all the way back. He had the foundation from the beginning. No, it's going to die. Absolutely. It says, verse 7, and some fell among thorns or into the thorns. Now, what do we always heard thorns are? Curses. Well, there's a word into the root word of this that says extremities or extreme. See? Some of this seed fell in extreme places. Do you hear me? There are some people that are very extreme in this life, are they not? I'm not talking about a good thing. There's a lot of people that are very legalistic. There's a lot of church doctrine that is so legalistic, it's out on the extreme. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It's way out there. And so it gets out of what? You can take any truth in this book, and you can run it so far out on a limb, it'll be what? It'll be out of balance if you take it too far. See? But there's a balance there thing, and that's what he's talking about here. There's some seed that fell on people that was just way out of bounds. You know, their traditions is what they made traditions out of it. Okay, and if they went to the extreme in it, and they set up idols in this stuff. So, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And that it is the word, the seed, right? And it, the word, yielded no what? Now, it's more than just fruit, because this word says fruit for harvest. Now, what kind of fruit is that?
Mature.
Mature fruit. See, it can't just be green grapes, so those are no good. You know, you got to let them grow to maturity. So if it fell out here, he's saying that it didn't produce any mature fruit, right? Well, basically, yeah. It didn't, but it wasn't mature. You could produce a crop, but if a crop's no good, what is it? It's no good. I mean, there's no benefit in it, is there? We've got to know that it's got to come to maturity. And it says the good farmer waits on the former and the latter rain, and that'll bring it to its maturity. See, we've got to set and wait on it. And he says other seed fell where? Into good ground and did yield what? Mature fruit. See, you're mature fruit. That sprang up and increased and brought forth not some, but it says one brought forth 30, one brought forth 60, and one brought forth 100-fold. And he said to them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me ask you a question. I know there's people that's on this earth that don't have any ears on the side of their head, but that's a very small minority of people, isn't it? Everybody has these little protrusions on the side of their head, don't they? So is he talking about natural things? It's a spiritual thing, and we've got to have an ear which is not shaped like this at all. Okay? It's something inside of us that is hearing. It's a knowing inside. Does anybody know what Proverbs 20 and 12 says? Huh? Turn there. Proverbs 20, verse 12. It's best if you look at it, and then guess what? It'll stick with you better. What's it say? Yep. Might as well let you see it. If you see it. Not me saying it. God said it. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So he says, to him that has an ear, let him hear. Now, the whole book of Revelation, he says this many times. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Okay. It's the same thing that he said in Psalms. Selah. Same thing he said through other places in the Old Testament. He lifted his eyes up and looked afar off. What's he saying? You looked into the Spirit. You looked into the Spirit and saw beyond anything on this earth. See? All these things are basically saying the same thing. It's talking about things going on in the Spirit. Nothing that anybody in the natural is going to see. Because it is behind the veil. It's beyond the flesh, that's for sure. Verse 10, and when he was alone, and that means in his, alone in his residence, because the word is there, alone in his residence. So I wonder whose house that might be. It was his house. It said in his residence. He was alone in his residence, what the language says. So he was alone in his residence. That means it was his house. And said when he was alone with them there, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. That right there, that passage right there in that 9th verse or 10th verse kind of puts to rest that fact that he didn't have any place to live like a lot of people preach. Right here is where he's wanting to lay his head. Right on this, right here. That's where he's wanting to put it in our shoulders. He's wanting to put it here. And when he made that statement, he was talking about there was no one ready to hear this yet, this life. And he says this. He talked to him about the parable in the 11th verse. And he said unto them, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now, everybody cannot read this book and understand it. Plainly says so, doesn't it? It's only the ones that God creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye in, only ones that can read this. And that's why it's so frustrating until we come to understand this, why when we go to talk to somebody that you dearly care about, but they can't hear you. And they're blind and they're deaf in the spirit, and there's nothing you can do to say to change that. It's only the Father's plan and purpose for everything going on. Sometimes I used to think that God put people like that in my life just to aggravate me. And there might have been some truth to that, because I needed aggravated and stirred up in me so I could see the things that was in my life that needed to be dealt with. See? And now I come to the place where I thank God for them. I thank God for them, because if there is any remnant of anything in me that shouldn't be there, they're going to find it. See? They're the bloodhounds that's searching me out. I don't see it as a negative thing anymore. I'm beginning to see this book as a total positive. Everything that everybody says is bad, I'm seeing that's what changes me. That's the very thing that makes me into the gold that Job spoke about. Job 23:10. The Lord knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And God, that's the nature of God. My nature of God is going to come out because of all these people He sent in my life to stir me up. Thank you, Father. Couldn't say that all the time. I can now because I understand it. But I want to go back to a word in this chat, in this verse, in 11. The word mystery. It's the Greek word mysterion, where we get our word mystery. But it has a meaning buried in here that I have heard taught, and God corrected me in it. Okay? And it literally says in the language, it says, a mystery through the idea of silence imposed by initiating into that religious rite. See? So it says, by coming in, he will make you know about it, but it'll keep it a mystery. That was under the law. Hello? Wasn't it? Aren't all things open to us now? By the Spirit. But they're open to us now. And see, God never brought us into this Word to hide us. I think he's going to get into it here in a minute about the bushel. We'll get there in a second. See? And that's what he's trying to say. There was a time under the law when this stuff was closed up. It was closed up. Because God had never opened the ears and eyes to hear and see what he's doing. But them days are past. Once Jesus took his place, once he ascended back to the Father, this thing is opened. I think the day that he was crucified, something happened to that temple in Jerusalem. The veil was rent from where? Opened it up. From all the way to the top, and that's where it started. Opened it up so you could understand all the way to the bottom to your feet where you can walk it now. Now you can live it. It's not just talking it, thinking it, and now I can live it. It's not beyond our grasp, is it? He would never tell us to be ye holy as I am holy if I couldn't attain to that. He would never tell me, be ye perfect as I am perfect if we could not attain to that. See? So it's now. It's not something way off in the future somewhere. It's open now. And I know most of the church world wouldn't say, well, that's when we get to heaven. But I'm already told you, I'm there. We are heaven. Okay. So this word is under the law. The way this some of these other people teach this thing, it's still putting you back under the law. I know something you don't know, and that makes me better than you. Well, that's what it's teaching, isn't it? When you get something secret, and I'm going to keep it away from you because I'm in this group and you're not. Now, what kind of a attitude does that spawn in humanity? Pride? Sure it does. It's not. That's not no hierarchy in this kingdom. The only hierarchy in this kingdom is Christ. Period. There's nothing else. He's the boss. Okay? So he's really saying, nobody with outside of my choosing is going to understand this. Can we accept that? Now we know it's true because we can read it, but are we going to accept that? No one without his permission or his design or his plan or purpose can understand this. See, nobody can. But are we going to accept this? See, because if we accept this, we'll step into peace. I can pull up a chair and rest until my Father tells me what to do. Right here he is. Because he just said when he got him alone in the 10th verse.
When he was alone, those around him.
Well, there was a few more disciples other than the 12, yes. Okay. But it wasn't. But they were all disciples. They were all students of his that he was teaching. So it wasn't to the multitudes. He was speaking to the ones that are called. Yeah, no, no. There was a few more around him. It doesn't say how many, just said there was some around with him. Okay? And literally it says the ones that were with him, or literally the word means the ones that resembled him. Well, what would that tell you? They were just like him, see? And just like you quoted a while ago out of Romans 8:29, the ones he foreknew, he did predestinate conformed. See? They already were looking like him. And I don't mean the hair and the eyes. I'm talking about his nature, his character, everything inside. And he says in the 12th verse, that seeing they may see and not perceive, or they can see but they don't know. You know how many people read this book but don't understand this book? Most of them. 90%, 90% plus of them, at least 90% of them. I don't know if we got scripture for that, but I can say 90% because there's a tenth that's going to hear it. Now, it's at least 90% because there's a 10% that's a tithe, so that's the first fruit they're going to hear. But seeing they don't know what they see, and hearing they may hear and not comprehend. There's all kinds of people that hear the words we say to them, but we are aliens talking to these people. I mean, we could be talking, what was that planet Mork was from, Mork and Mindy? Mork from Ork. You could be talking Ork language, you know, and it doesn't make any difference. We're talking English language, but what we are saying is so foreign to their hearing process, to their thinking process, it's like we're just jibber-jabber. They do not understand us. See? No, it just confuses them because it doesn't... See, they're thinking natural, we're talking spiritual. So we're comparing apples to oranges and you can't get a fair alignment there, can you? Okay. Least at any time they should what? Well, that word's wrong. Return. That they should return and their sins be forgiven them. Now look at something. He didn't say come back and ask me to forgive them. He said return. Now we know repentance is changing the way you think. He didn't say repent, did it? The language says they might return. If they heard this, they'd return and their sins would be forgiven. So it's telling me something here that for my sins to be forgiven, I have to know something. I have to know my identity. And when I find my identity, then I know who my Father is. Does that make sense? The only way I get an identity is through my Father. Is that true? In the natural, we get our identity from our Father, our parents, right? So I find out who I am. Whoop, that's my Father. And I go back to my Father, and He's going to judge me. Oh, son, come on. Come on back. Right? Kill the fatted calf. Put the ring on. Put the shoes on. Put the robe on. See, there's how He judges you. Oh, come on. It's not like the world tells us. It's a great thing to see. But when we return, that's what happens, see? We're going to be forgiven. We're already forgiven. We're just going to finally realize it. And He said to them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Now, He was talking to His best people, wasn't He? Right-hand men. And He said, boss, you don't even understand this simple thing. I've been with you all this time and you still don't understand. How are you going to understand the kingdom? How are you going to win the world if you don't understand this one? See, because you can't understand the second one or the third one until you've understood, oh, number one. You got to understand the first one before you can ever go anywhere. And all He's telling you in this is, I'm in control. Who's in control of the whole thing? God is. Through this man right here called Jesus, who was the Christ. And He says, okay, here it is. I'm going to give it to you. The sower sows the word. Wonder who the sower is. It's Christ. And these are they that by the road where the word, and that word is logos. That's not a fleshly word. That's a spiritual word, logos. Is sown. But when they heard, who popped up immediately? It's not Satan, the devil. It's not Satan in the Greek language. It's Satanas. A little different variation of the word, which means the accuser. Okay? So, who's the accuser? Identify him. My mind. See, my mind is the accuser to me. My mind's not the accuser to you, is it? Not mine. Shouldn't be. See, the only accuser that I have to deal with is one inside of me. If they turn, they'll figure that out, won't they? So the accuser comes back. These people didn't turn back. See, they're still accusing themselves. And how many people today come into church and start on the course, and everybody says, everything, you're forgiven now, but you're just a forgiven sinner. And you're saying, huh? I thought I was a saint now. No, no, you're still a sinner. Well, when will I be a saint? Well, when you die and go to heaven. I mean, that's what they're telling them? Come on. I was told the same thing, weren't you? I was told them same thing. But that don't fit this pattern. And these people right here who were by the wayside and the accuser took the word out of their mind, guess what? It wasn't their fault. They hadn't got the ears yet. Haven't got the eyes yet, have they? God hasn't set it up yet for them. So he says, and takes away, a meat comes to meat and takes away the word or the logos that was sown in their hearts. Now that tells me something. He didn't say it just went by the wayside. He said it was sown in their heart. But the ground wasn't very good. See, the ground, usually you go down the side of the road, it's not very good soil, is it? Pretty rocky, gravelly, not a whole lot of good soil along the road. Okay? So it was all about that type of soil. And are we not the soil? We're the soil of the earth. And these, he said, are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. That's the hard-hearted, stiff-necked, legalistic type.
Uncircumcised.
Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And you couldn't believe how many people I've told this word to and said, my God, what a good word. And you know what? They ain't nowhere to be seen no more. They're not even serving God. I mean, even preachers that's heard this has just totally turned around, went the other way. Went back into the world. Drinking, carrying on. Because they heard something in this. And see, this is what the human mind does with the truth of God. God says, I am going to reconcile all back to me. And they say, ho-ho, license, party time. That's what they hear. See, I mean, that's what their mind tells them. That's not what God said. Because God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. See? They didn't hear the truth, did they? They heard some of it and shut it off. They got a license. And whenever these things happen right here, it just tells what goes on in people's lives whenever it comes against them. They're in stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive with gladness and have no what? Well, the root is a foundation. The root of Jesse was Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 3:11 said there's no other foundation that can be laid other than the foundation which already is laid, which is Christ Jesus. See? So they don't have Christ in their heart, really. He's not the foundation yet. He may be in there in seed form, but he's never been awakened in them yet. So they're just sitting there. But for a what? He said in themselves, and so they endure, and the word endure is not correct. It's the word exist. It's a present tense word. They just exist. Okay? You ever know any people like that in church? They just exist for a season, and then they're not no more. There's a lot of them that just existed for a season. Where are they at today? Wherever, you know, they're ever, wherever. I don't know where they're at. Don't keep track. All of them can't. Too many of them. Now, let's hear the next one. For a time, afterwards, when what? That word affliction is literally philipsis. It's the word that's translated most of the time tribulation. But literally, it means pressure. So whenever pressure or persecution arise, for what? Because of the gospel, the word sake isn't there, for the word or for the gospel's sake, immediately they are what? Right here's the word. See that? A bent, snared trap. And that's what it means. You know how long it takes you to get offended? That quick. Boom. And that's what he's telling you. They are immediately, didn't he say immediately they're what? They're offended. And that word offended is scandalizo, which means they're tripped up immediately. They were tripped up immediately because of what? Why are they tripped up? Verse 17 tells you, right in the first part, what's it say? They have no root. What's the root?
The word.
It's Christ, the foundation, which is the Word. They don't have the Word in them. And here's the thing. If we have the Word in us, it is going to cultivate our hearts. It's going to break up that fallow ground of our hearts. They appear to have something, but they really never hitched them,